Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, welcoming you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call, year number 18. What a great year this is. The year of our Lord, 2015. Half of the year is already in the books. It is my absolute privilege to welcome you to our call. This call is officially being recorded and is available on Podomatic. That call is available at noon Eastern Standard Time the following day. So tomorrow, Wednesday, July 22nd, that call will be available, 9 o'clock Pacific, noon Eastern Standard Time. On any given Wednesday, we have well over 1,000 downloads and podcasts. So if you'd like to take advantage of tonight's call, feel free, pass it on. I'm going to have some great content for tonight's call. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. Then we will move into the inspirational portion of our call this evening. If you're on the call for the first time, I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I've been hosting this call for 18 plus years, and I've had some exceptional inspirational speakers. I will have the great Mark Victor Hansen on in the very near future. Just in past recent memory, I have had Tara Romano, C.G. Siddons, Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, Dr. Joe Dispenza, which incidentally, that was a phenomenal call. If you're not listening to that call or any of the calls with some of the guests I have interviewed, Jennifer Trinkner, then you definitely want to listen to some of those calls. Going back in my past, I've interviewed the great Jim Rohn on two different occasions, movie producer Stephen Simon, who produced the award-winning movie What Dreams May Come and Somewhere in Time, along with Ted and Bill's Big Adventure, Great Adventure, along with many other movies. I interviewed the great Stephen Simon back in 2005. So I have interviewed some great guests and will have some great guests in the fall. This Saturday I will be in Chicago, Illinois for the first and only time in 2015. That is Saturday, July 25th. That is at the Hilton Rosemont. I am the host of that event, and we have plenty of room. We have good ticket sales already, so it's going to be a great event. I also want to thank Alexis Romano and all of her team for last week. That was a fabulous event, one of the best events I've ever had the privilege of speaking and contributing, over 900 strong in Newark, New Jersey. On the following Saturday, August 1st, I'll be back on the East Coast in beautiful Long Island, New York. Actually, the city is Huntington, where I am speaking. I want to thank Joy Schoenholtz and Kelly Bartoletti, along with Jody Ticini, and many other people who are promoting the event for me. That will be a standing room only event from 9 to 4, Saturday, August 1st. I'll be on the left coast on Saturday, August 8th, Marina Del Rey. August 14th, on Friday, I'll be doing a half-day event from 12 to 4 with Susan Sly and Alexis Romano at the San Diego Convention Center. There still are a few tickets available. Tickets have really been moving the last few days as we're getting down to the countdown. We have room for 800 seats, and we will sell that event out. August 22nd, I'll be sharing the stage with the great Alex Morton. Alex was a 23-year-old self-made millionaire in networking and direct sales. Alex and I will be sharing the stage in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. August 29th, Portland, Oregon. September 19th, Pleasanton, California. That is in my backyard. September 26th, Atlanta, Georgia. The first time I've spoken in Atlanta, it'll be about 15 months by the time I get there. That is September 26th. Charleston, South Carolina. That is Bridget Bartley's event. That will be a fabulous event. For those of you who've never been to Charleston, a lot of history in that exceptional city. October 10th, my first trip ever to Albany, New York. October 17th, I'll be back in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. October 24th is presently an open date. I'm in the process of filling that event. October 30th, 31st, Buffalo, New York. I just booked Norwalk, Connecticut for November 21st and Long Island on Saturday, December 5th. So those are some of the upcoming events where you can see me live and in person hosting a one-day More Heart Than Talent event on November 7th. Tickets are already selling for the exceptional one-day Millionaire Blueprint event on the East Coast. That will be at the Newark DoubleTree by Hilton at the airport, It's a fabulous location to host an event. We have room for 900 tickets. I'll have the great Mark Victor Hansen. I will also have Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and myself. How about that for a four-fecta? That will be an all-day event packed with content. The great Mark Victor Hansen is a keynote speaker. He will be speaking in the afternoon. If you've never seen Mark, I've had Mark speak on 10 different occasions for me. Fantastic content. I will have Mark as my guest on one of my Tuesday night calls coming up in the very near future. If you are considering hiring me, now is the time to do it. Not later in the year, but N-O-W, now o'clock. I have one of my largest events of the year coming up on Friday, August 14th. I definitely suggest you hire me soon if that is in your wheelhouse. With that, I'm going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great pleasure I bring to you tonight your dialogue with money. This is one of my favorite topics that I do cover. Your dialogue with money will determine whether you attract and or repel the people, situations, and opportunities to reality that you can co-create, collaborate, and or create wealth and or money. Now, this is a very sensitive talk and a very sensitive conversation that I'm going to have because many of you have challenges with this very topic. I'm going to break down the cause and effect of why we do what we do, also give you some insight into how to better assist yourself to create situations that are much more favorable so you can attract to your reality people, situations, and opportunity that you can create wealth and or money. Your history of money, take a look at your history and have a good understanding of the cause and the effect of money in your life. There is a book called Money and You. There's also a book by Lynn Twist called The Spirit or the Soul of Money. As I look over my bookshelves behind me, I have well over 100 books on the topic of money. Just to name a few of them, The Millionaire Next Door, The Millionaires Next Door, The Trick to Money is Having Some, To Pay, Money, Unconditional Money, Creating Money, The Secret Life of Money, Smart Money Decisions, Money Therapy, Money Talks, Wealth Starts at Home, Millionaire Next Door, Money Shy to Money Sure, The Power of Gold, The Laws of Money, The Lessons of Life. These are Susie Orman's. The Courage to Be Rich, Stop Acting Rich, Start Being Rich. The Energy of Money, The Money Trap. Those are just a few of the books I have on money. The Seven Laws of Money, Millionaire, the Soul of Money, Smart Couples Finish Rich, Live Rich, More Than Enough. And then the book that Debtors Anonymous uses, which is a fabulous book by Joe Dominguez, is Money and Your Money or Your Life. For if you've ever been to a Debtors Anonymous program, which is for people who have compulsive money challenges, their book that they use in their 12-step program, once again, is called Your Money or Your Life. The best book I have ever read that breaks down addictions with money and or compulsive situations that create addictions around money is Money Drunk, Money Sober by the great Julia Cameron, who also wrote The Artist's Way. So if you have challenges with money, money does not have challenges with you. Money does not have a conscience. Money flows to people who have creativity, people who are very skilled at creating ideas, ingenuity, people who are very skilled with creating money. Now, money has no conscience, and it ends up with people who are skilled at it. What does that mean? It means that money could end up in the hands of a skilled drug dealer, just like money could end up in the hands of a skilled banker or a skilled investor. So for you to be able to create more in your life, more abundance, more reciprocity, more prosperity, you must get comfortable, not necessarily with money. That would be a byproduct of it. But most importantly, you must be and stay comfortable with yourself. If you have self-esteem issues, deserve issues, you have challenges when it comes to asking, receiving, and deserving, if you've been guilted into being poor, if you've been guilted into being in poverty, if you've been guilted into being guilty, or if you have guilt when it comes to asking, receiving, and deserving, then you virtually are creating a situation that you end up repelling money or the situations where you could create it. Now let's take a look at your history with money. People are predictable, and the more you understand cause and effect and or why people do what they do, then you will have a better understanding of your dialogue with money. When people have asked me, what does that mean, dialogue with money? It means how you interact, how you communicate, how you repel, and or how you attract. Now money, there's very little of it in today's world, the physical, tangible aspect of it. That doesn't mean there's scarcity with money. It means there's scarcity with the tangible aspects of money. Someone who understands the laws that govern money, that would be numismatic law, they are a numismatist. That is someone who's very, very skilled and understand the laws that govern money. To be able to create money, you must have ideas, you must be spontaneous, you must be creative, and you must be have innovation. The more creative and innovative you are, the higher the probability that you can come up with ideas, you can create intellectual property, you have the ability to create and or ask for that which you deserve. Now deserve, D-E-S-E-R-V-E. If you don't feel you deserve money or deserve peace or prosperity or to be wealthy, then you will create situations to fulfill a biochemical craving that you've become emotionally addicted to, disappointment. And if you are someone who struggles, just get by, barely make enough at the end of the month, the end of the week, the end of the year, if you have someone who has money avoidance or you repel money because of your own anxiety about it, for those of you on tonight's call who have anxiety about failure, you really have anxiety about the responsibility to be and stay successful, and your money issues get showcased in your anxiety about your inability to create a flow with it. Now, more people put energy into failing than they ever do succeeding. What does that mean? That means that most of society has systematically tiptoed through the has tiptoed quietly through life and arrive, maybe not at their grave yet, but a large percent of society has tiptoed quietly through life and arrived at debtor's door. A large percent of society lives in liability debt. It's very common for me to coach my clients and find out this, that they have tremendous liabilities, meaning they have a home that they're completely upside down in. I recently coached a client who owned a home, a $1 million home. They had two salaries as employees. Combined income, the two of them were making $300,000 a year. They owed about $700,000 on their house on an interest-only loan at 3.5%. The loan rate isn't that bad, but they were paying interest only, not chipping away at the principal. Unfortunately, that is a very common commonality. A large percent of America lives in liability debt, and their liability debt creates anxiety, or their anxiety creates a liability debt. It's a situation that goes hand in hand. Then they toss and turn, do not rest, and wake up with a lot of anxiety. Typically, they will subluxate C1 and C2 in their upper cervical on the non-dominant side of their neck, have upper back problems and low back problems. Your low back problems is your money bone. That's where many people have challenges in your low back. That represents your inability or your ability to receive. And if you have suffered enough, you've been a noble struggler and you're on this call tonight, and you are willing to change your dialogue not only with money but your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. And if you have challenges with money, you'll get exposed in selling. And this is why many people attempt to seduce you by saying, we don't sell, we share. Okay, well, I understand there is merit to that statement, but why would you de-edify the very profession that you seek to become a millionaire or a millionaire? So imagine if you were telling yourself, I'm not a baseball player, I'm not an actor, I'm not a thespian, I'm not a football player, I'm not an entrepreneur. Why would you want to teach yourself that? Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. It requires the ability to ask, the ability to listen, the ability to answer. Basic, simple skills that you could master one day at a time, and it creating a compounded effect over 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, or 24 months. If you own a business in free enterprise, you must have this in the equation, P-R-O-F-I-T, profit. You must have profit. You're not getting paid wages. You're not getting paid what a job is worth as if you own a business. You have the opportunity to create what you are worth in free enterprise, meaning there are no real limitations. I have a few clients who are superstar internet marketers and create multiple six and some seven-figure months. It's not outside of your reach. It's only outside of your reach if you speak into existence a reality that you create to perpetuate your broke thoughts, your poverty consciousness, and your lack that keeps you struggling. Now, money is not going to make you happy. It is love that makes the world go round. Money pays for the trip, but you do require money. You must have it to pay for your obligations. Now, after that, that is unequivocally up to you on how you want to live. If you want to live a good life, it's going to require a certain denomination of money to be able to pay for that trip in life that you require. If you're going to own a home, an automobile, you're going to finance your educations or pay for your education, it's going to require a lot of money. If you have a child, I've read statistics that a child by the time it's 18 costs multiple six figures that you will invest in raising that child. Then if you add education to that equation, you're going to send a child to a state college anywhere between $20,000 to $30,000 to $40,000 a year. You don't want to be paying 8% interest on a front-loaded loan that you'll have challenges ever paying off. You must have a conditioning with money that becomes a new behavior. You must change the way you feel, think, and operate about money if you don't have any. And if you want to live the good life, you want to be wealthy and prosperous, then you must understand how to create value and service in free enterprise, how to create intellectual property, how to create multiple streams of income, how to be able to be in a flow, a prosperity consciousness. But if you grew up in lack, poverty consciousness, and have challenges with money, it's going to be a direct reflection, oftentimes, about how you feel about yourself. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed, and that's unfortunately what happens to many people, they get overwhelmed with the thought of, meaning they go into an outer body experience about a situation that hasn't happened, overwhelm themselves, shut down, go into fight or flight, procrastinate, get ready to get ready, then never really get around to learning the skills. One of the biggest anxieties that robs people of ever being prosperous in free enterprise is rejection. Rejection is an emotion. Your rejection and or abandonment issues are going to be a direct reflection of past events where you got neglected, abandoned, abused, violated, any multitude of situation that creates a self-esteem that's uncomfortable with asking, receiving, and deserving. If you also grew up in a family where you had to take on the role of a parent before your time, there's a high probability that giving and caretaking, and then over-obligating yourself, doing too much for others, enabling or codependency has become part of your identity. Now, if that's your identity, it becomes very challenging for you to receive and deserve. If you're someone who has this, you say this, I have challenges with compliments. I complimented two people today, I complimented more than two people, but two people stood out today. I complimented them, and then both of them put me in a position where I had to justify, validate, and explain my compliment. If you are one of these people who you complicate a compliment, you unequivocally have challenges receiving and deserving. What that does is it alienates the very people you seek to attract to your enterprise because you're uncomfortable with asking, receiving, and deserving. If giving is your identity and serving is your identity, over-obligating is your identity, enabling is your identity, you're going to have challenges asking, receiving, and deserving. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. To be able to become a master asker, you must let go of your anxiety about receiving. Unfortunately, many people create an anxiety about receiving because they have a story about the obligations with receiving. If someone purchased a product and service from you, what is your obligation? Well, you have to understand, your word is your law, but if you don't over-obligate yourself, if you don't take on someone's pain, if you don't make someone else's success about you, then you'll be able to have a boundary. But if you have no boundaries, get overwhelmed, take on someone else's pain and problems, and you start saying that I have to make them successful, oh, my God, what am I going to do with them? Or if you have a dialogue with receiving that's not conducive to being relaxed, you'll create your anxiety that ends up sending a mixed telepathic message. As you begin to let go, understand cause and effect, understand this, why you do what you do. As you let go of this one word, how do I, the educational system has seduced you into believing that the keys to information is how. But if you live in the technical know-how of how, you have to know all the how-tos, you'll never really get to this key word, your why. If your why does not make you cry, if your why does not inspire you, if your why does not create a centrifugal force that brings you through the process, if your why does not empower you, then typically you won't have a why. Now, when you become skilled like I am at asking people why they do what they do and what their why is, you will find that most of society does not really have a why. They do not have clearly defined short-term money goals. They do not have clearly defined short-term goals about inspiration. Most of society, when you ask them what their goals, their dreams are, what their vision is, and what their purpose is, they have challenges answering. Most of society will check out. Their first sound out of their mouth is followed by well, and then they typically will tell you what they think they're supposed to tell you. So it's going to be very common when you ask someone what their goals are, what the reason to succeed is, why you want to start a business, why you want to be an entrepreneur, what is your why, what are your dreams. Most of society will tell you what they think they're supposed to tell you, politically correct. They will tell you that they want to give back. They will tell you that they want to serve. They will tell you they want to pay it forward. They will tell you they want to help people. Now, all of those statements are, there's nothing wrong with them, but that typically isn't a strong enough why to pull you through your challenges. You have to have why bigger than your problems. You have to have a why that empowers you. Now, if you become very clear in your why and you want to help someone, or you have a very clear why about that situation where it comes from empowerment, when it comes from a situation that it's meaningful to you, then that's a whole different equation. You have to have a why that inspires you, a why that gets you beyond your challenges. But if you aren't clear on who you are, if you're not clear on what you seek in life, then you will end up spending most of your time getting ready to get ready and procrastinating. The reason that most people are not comfortable setting a goal is because of their anxiety about failing. The reason that most people have challenges setting a goal is because setting goals overwhelms them. The reason that most people have challenges goal getting is because they don't believe they deserve them, they don't believe they'll get them, and they don't want to fail. When you put more energy into failing, you'll never be able to succeed. When you're anxious about succeeding because you're not sure if you can pull it off, that's a direct reflection of your own low self-esteem. But when you learn to be present, when you begin to live in the now, when you let go of your anxiety about situations that has not happened, you will begin to change your energy. The centrifugal force that you require to pull you through your problems rather than dwell on your problems. If you grew up with a family of flaw finders who find all the flaws, if you grew up in negativity, if you grew up with a dialogue with money that's not conducive to creating and or attracting it, then you will continue to accept what society gives you. If you own a job pays you what a job is worth. So take a look at some of the terms that you've heard about money over the annals of time. There's a lot of terms about money that are contradictory. When you pay with an arm and a leg, when you pay through the nose, when it's a home to die for, those are many references about the pain associated with money. Money is not painful. Your identity with it is what creates the pain. When you live in pain, when you're overwhelmed in pain, when what you go through is painful, when you've been through a painful journey, when you get overwhelmed, when you're anxious, and you send a telepathic mixed message, then there's a high probability that you'll live in disappointment, shame, guilt, and you'll have challenges attracting to your reality the people that you can partner with, collaborate with. You must be able to attract people to your reality that can produce, that have a vision, that are creative and innovative. You want to be able to attract people that have a why. When you are prospecting people, when you are seeking prosperity partners, your objective is to attract people who qualify for your time. They see the value of the benefits and the features, and they have dreams. You want to be able to attract people who want to live the good life. So when you are prospecting and communicating with people, to sell the dream, you have to be able to ask the questions that lead to the outcome. Why do you want to start a business? How serious are you about starting a business? When you can ask questions like that, then you don't have anxiety about the outcome. Your anxiety typically will rob you of your energy because you create a story that hasn't happened so you can justify being disappointed. As you begin to let go of your story, as you live in the present, when you learn to let go of these stories from the past that hinder you, when you let go of the 20,000 meals you spent with the wrong financial planners, by the time we are 18 years old, our dialogue with money is pretty much set in stone. The stories that we've heard, the talk that we've heard, the way we communicate with money, the way our family communicates with money, often is a byproduct of their own deserve issues. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about what has not happened, you can start to create a different story, a different dialogue with your ability to attract and create people and situations where you can create money. Now, if you want to have money operate with you so you don't trade time for it, if you want to be able to create leverage with money, you must, in your law of alignment, attract to your reality people and situations that you can create the compounded effect with. If you want to create the leverage in business through internet marketing, network marketing, direct sales, real estate, and intellectual property, then you have to change your perspective about money. If you come from a lack mentality, a poverty consciousness, that leaves you only a very, very small window to attract to your reality the prosperity partners that you seek. And when your word is your law, when you speak into existence realities that perpetuate your low self-esteem over and over, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill that disappointment. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, then you can begin to attract to your reality people and situations that you can create a different kind of reciprocity, prosperity, and where you can create abundance with. But when you continue to operate from the stories that you told that don't serve you, then you begin to let go of that type of energy. You begin to attract a different energy around money. You begin to attract a different situation, and that's when you'll hear people say they just showed up. That becomes synchronicity, destiny, creation on command. When you start to understand how money's created, how little value there is in tangible money, you will stop putting so much stock into the almighty dollar. We are consistently corralled into scarcity. Yet we are told that the markets are going to crash. Gloom and doom's about to happen. There's going to be a one-world currency. The currency of tomorrow will be bullets and water. If you listen to CNN, constantly negative news, and if you listen to all the conspiracy theorists, there's a lot of gloom and doom that's going to happen. Now, when you are creative, when you are resourceful, when you are innovative, you can adapt and adjust to the situation at hand. Money is not hard. Money is not a struggle. Money is money. Money is an energy. Do you have the energy that will attract or the energy to repel? When you start to create the service, the value, the contribution, and the collaboration, then you can begin to attract and create a different type of situation. When you have success habits, success becomes what you do daily. Success isn't so much about what you do, it's what you do daily. But you must be patient to create the law of the compounded effect. Money doesn't just show up because you're a good person. Money will show up because you're skilled. Money doesn't care whether you're good or bad. Money looks at the way you're skilled. When you start to develop the skills around creating and attracting money, then you begin to enhance your law of averages. You can't win them all. You can't close them all. And your closing ratio isn't nearly as important as your understanding of how to create the compounded effect. Now, you can bring people into a business. You can go out and get people. And if you're an addicted getter, that doesn't mean they're going to create any reciprocity or prosperity. But as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control, you will begin to change your dialogue with money. Now take a look back and reflect. How was money talked about as you grow up? What was your conditioning with money? Did you come from lack? Did you come from poverty? Did you come from the wrong side of the tracks? Did you come from scarcity? Did you ever hear money doesn't grow on trees? Did you ever hear FHB, mom would say to family hold back, let the guest go first. We're as poor as church mice, and if the situation doesn't change, we're going to be in the soup kitchen, the bread line, the county farm. Did you ever hear any of these situations? Did you ever hear the term debutante, blue blood, born with a silver spoon in their mouth? Did you ever hear any of these situations? Did you ever hear that that's a home to die for? Did you ever hear the term paid for the nose? Did you ever hear the term, get that out of your mouth, money is dirty? Is money dirty? Well, there's been a lot of hands on money. That's what we are told. We are told a lot of misnomers, a lot of myths, and a lot of lies when it comes to money. We are conditioned that money is very difficult. We're also conditioned to go into debt to get a job where we get paid very little. Now, this just doesn't make sense anymore. The educational system cannot deliver on its promise any longer. When I went to college back in the 70s, I borrowed $4,400 from a bank that was not even FDIC insured. My banker was a guy named Pete Burchett. Pete owned a local bank in town. He gave me a signature loan. I never even signed a document for it. Now, that happened back in the day. I was charged 3% interest for my college loan of $4,400. I went to a state university. I paid for all of my way through and borrowed money and paid it off in 8 years at $50 a month, something like that. I mean, it was a signature loan. It was not that difficult of a situation. Money is not difficult. Money is money. What does that mean? It means your perception, your dialogue, the way you perceive, the way you look at, the way you feel will determine your ability or inability to create money in free enterprise. Now, if you're someone who has an education, you're a teacher, I'll just use that as an example. You go to a state university. In today's world, you'll pay about $30,000, give or take, to go to a state university to become a teacher. Teachers' jobs are actually scarce, believe it or not. And the average teacher that goes out and teaches in today's world achieves somewhere around $50,000 to $60,000 in a good school system. Now, in today's good school system, the inmates run the asylum. There's not a lot of discipline. Students can say things to you that are unfavorable. It's a very hostile work environment, and most teachers that go out and become teachers become very negative, not about the fact that they're teachers, but about the politics and the situation that goes on in today's world. Teaching used to be a noble profession, but in today's world, if you're a teacher working 10 months a year, you're going to achieve somewhere between maybe $50,000 to $75,000 a year on a good year. Now, take a look at statistically the laws that govern money. Only 7% of society, that means 93%, only 7% of society achieves a six-figure income. Only about 2% of society achieves $250,000 in a calendar year. Only about 1% of society achieves $500,000 or more in a calendar year, and only 1/20th of 1% have a net worth of $1 million. Where do the millionaires and millionaires in America come from? It comes from owning a small business. 80% of the millionaires in America come from owning a small business with less than 3 employees. A large percent of the millionaires and millionaires in America come from a network marketing and a direct sales business, in an internet marketing business, and real estate investing. 20% of America that are millionaires are white-collar professionals, but most of America's wealth is in the small business ownership, not the major corporations, but the small business. Now, you own a business from the comfort of your home. What is the advantage of that? It has very low overhead. The startup cost is very minimal. If you own an internet marketing business or a network marketing business, you're going to invest somewhere between $1,000 or less to start yourself in business. Lead generation and phone bills is a whole different situation today than it was back in my era. Through LinkedIn, through Twitter, through all the other situations, Facebook, through Instagram, you can create leads absolutely free online. You can pay for a premium service on LinkedIn at about $80 a month, which is an absolutely great investment for a return on your energy and time. Your phone bills aren't the $2,000 that I used to pay back in the late 80s and early 90s. Phone bills are around $100, $200, or less. That means you can be in free enterprise for minimum startup capital. Now, what is proprietary? preposterous is you encounter prospects and suspects who will tell you, gee, I can't come up with $500. I'm well. This really sounds good, but I don't have that kind of money. What does that actually mean? What it means is, it doesn't mean they don't see the value. What it means is they typically can't decide. What it means is that success would contradict their struggle. What it means is they have the $500. They may not have it on the nightstand, but they can unequivocally get it, but they're not willing to make a decision. You must understand, to become a closer, you have to let go of being a poser. And if you're uncomfortable and unconscious about being uncomfortable, if you have money and deserve issues, if you don't want to offend someone, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to say the wrong thing, if you have to be perfect, you have to be all scripted out, then you'll be forever on the bench. If your reflexes aren't conducive to being able to adapt and adjust to a communication style that's conducive to moving a conversation along, you'll have challenges creating money and free enterprise. In today's world, you must be able to sell, market, and brand. If you can't do that, you're going to have challenges being an entrepreneur. If you have rejection and abandonment issues, you will have equal challenges because your left brain, your egoic mind, will continue to talk yourself into being average. And if you spent most of your life being average, being exceptional would contradict your averageness. And if you continue to live the average life, you will never be able to live the good life. The good life starts around $250,000 a year or more, provided you are prosperous. But if you're consumptive and you're compulsive, then $250,000 will be the same as $25,000. You'll just be broke and broken at a higher level. But as you begin to educate yourself and re-educate your expectations, if you expect to be challenged, if you expect to get a no, if you expect to get rejected, then you have to re-educate your expectations. If you expect to struggle, if you carry the noble struggler's hit parade, then you will continue to keep doing what you're doing to justify who you are and what you have become over a long period of time. You must understand the laws that govern money will upset some of your family members when you start to create it. Now, if you live in an over-obligated mindset where you must take care and rescue people, then you will have challenges being able to put any of your money into motion. If you've been guilted into giving your money away because you become the caretaker, the over-obligator, the codependent, then you will have challenges being independent. If you have issues with guilt that rob you of your emotional energy, if you're not good enough, if you don't deserve it, then you'll have challenges being able to create wealth in free enterprise. And if you have been conditioned that people who have money are bad, people who have money are stingy, people are skinflints, people aren't prosperous, if you have these kinds of conditionings, if you learn that people who lived in them houses, people who live in those houses, if you have that kind of dialogue with money, then you're going to have to create some simple, subtle changes one day at a time over a career. And if you're someone that doesn't understand the value and service that creates the compounded effect, then you'll have to learn that one day at a time over your career. You have to be able to have a value of your time. How much is an hour of your time worth? If you want to hire me to be your coach, it would be $500 an hour in an increment of a $3,000 unit. I do not take payments. I do not have a payment plan. I receive one payment when you are ready. I don't want to be your bank or someone else's banker. I am my bank. And if you own your own business, you have to become your bank. That means you have to be responsible for your money. Don't hand your money over to your financial planners and your accountants. You have to be wise about your money. If you're uncomfortable with money, your money doesn't care how uncomfortable you are. It'll end up in the hands of someone else. Because if your dialogue with money isn't conducive to either attracting or keeping in motion, then you will repel money because of your uncomfortability. Then you will be relegated to trading time for dollars. If you're one of these people that join a business, you're JoJo the Indian Circus boy or girl, you get excited, jacked sideways, pumped up on Saturday, but by Wednesday you're deflated. If you don't understand your vocation, most of you, requires the ability to prospect. The ability to prospect, the road to prospecting is paved with the ability to ask questions. But if you're uncomfortable asking questions because of your own deserve issues, if you don't want to pry in someone's affairs, if you don't want to be nosy, if you don't want to be pushy, if you don't want to sell the things to somebody, if you're one of these people that say, I'm not trying to sell you something, if you're one of these people that say, we're just sharing, I'm not selling anything, I'm just sharing. I'm going to let you decide what's going to be best with you. Now, understand, you do want people to decide what's best for them. The only problem is most people don't know what's best for them. Most people are not opportunists. Most people are optimists, or they're optimistic that something's going to change, but they're not really an opportunist. Opportunities are never lost. They are seized by a few people who are emotionally available and emotionally ready. And if you're not one of those people, then you're going to continue to tiptoe quietly through life and unfortunately arrive at your grave with a lot of liability debt. If you don't want to be the American statistic, the average person at 65 years old cannot pay for their own funeral. The average funeral in a metropolitan city is around $12,000. Unfortunately, a lot of people who retire, their children have to pay for their funeral because they didn't do any financial planning. Do you have a financial plan? Do you even understand the market? Do you even understand how to save money? Do you have a plan weekly to save money? Do you have more than one bank account that you are diverting your money? Every single Sunday on my desk are two deposit slips. One deposit slip is for a savings account. One deposit slip is for a tax savings account. Every single Sunday, I divert a set portion of my money to a tax account and to a savings account. So by the end of the year, I have saved over $100,000 after taxes, and I've also paid my taxes quarterly. Quarterly taxes are paid on January 15th, April 15th, June 15th, and September and October 15th. There's a bigger gap between June 15th and October 15th. It's very interesting. There's a short gap between April 15th and June 15th. That means you must plan. If you live in a state that has state tax, then you have to plan for it. In California, you're going to pay around 8%, or you're going to pay your fair share of taxes in any state. Some states don't have taxes, and that can be good. Also, states typically get it back on tollway taxes and other situations. You must understand basic tax principles. For every $1 million that you achieve in a calendar year, you're going to be taxed about 41% to 44%. If you're achieving around six figures, you're going to be in a 35% to 38% tax bracket. The write-offs that you think are going to save your ass typically don't. They can assist you. The value of owning a small business from the comfort of your home, it gives you write-offs, but you're not in business for write-offs. You're in business for profits. Profits are better than wages, said the great Jim Rohn, but you have to understand how to create profit dollars. Profit dollars come from value and service. They come from the compounded effect. They come from intellectual property. They're going to come from benefits and features. They're going to come from your brilliance, from your ingenuity, from your creativity. They're not going to come from your apprehension. If you have money apprehension, you will hold back from creating money because of the story you create. How many of you grew up with parents that grew up in lack? How many of you heard stories about money that you begin to realize aren't true? How many of you grew up with parents that were very bitter about not having money? How many of you grew up on food stamps? How many of you grew up having to work a job and give your money away? Now that becomes a very interesting dynamic. If you are a percent of the population that had to contribute to your parents' household because of their own lack, their own poverty consciousness, or whatever situation is going on in their household, if you grew up as a pre-teenager and then a teenager having to work to support your family and you give your money away, there's a high probability you're still giving your money away because giving your money away became your identity. Because you really didn't deserve to have it, it had to be given to another cause. This is a cause that ends up affecting many people. Now, if you're ready to let go of the anxiety that keeps you overwhelmed, you're in the right place at the right time, but you must have the ability to recognize it. And you also have to understand that a large percent of your circle of influence or your family grew up in lack and perpetuated it. Now, if you decide to leave the herd, if you decide to leave the cow pen, the sheep pasture, if you decided to go into the jungle because you want to get to the land of paradise, a lot of people from your circle of influence are going to say situations about you, behind your back, to your face, or whatever the situation is in. You're going to get accused of being a cult. You're going to get accused of being greedy. You're going to be accused of being arrogant. You're going to be accused of not caring about what other people think. And you're going to have to understand that many people are going to use guilt to control you. You must let go of the control that keeps you in control being out of control. And you must understand that not everyone's going to be in the front, on your front row. Not everyone's going to embrace and endorse you. You must be able to attract and create relationships with people that are conducive to creating win-win situations in free enterprise. Only a small percent of the population is going to criticize you. But don't put energy into that. Put energy into results. Put energy into the solution. You have to let go of the problems that you create and outproduce your problem. Now, what does that mean? It means if you have a challenge, find a way to outproduce it. Stop borrowing money. Stop going into large financial liability debt. If you live in a large percent of liability debt, stop worrying about it. The debt doesn't worry about you. Worrying doesn't do anything for you except wear out your adrenal system and create hyperthyroidism and also affect your thyroid. Let go of the cortisol that you hold on to that keeps you overwhelmed. Take deep breaths, live in the present, live in the moment, live in the now. Focus on results, focus on solutions, and find yourself a business model that's conducive to resolving your problem. But if you continue to put focus on the problem, live in the problem, you'll never be able to live in the solution. That's why it's very important that you learn to do this. Let go. Letting go is that, letting go. Letting go means letting go of that which is invisible, that which you cannot see, letting go of your story, letting go of your anxiety. You can't really see them. They're like a smoke vapor. You can reach out and wave your hand through it, but you can't really put your hands on it. Letting go is not a situation that is tangible. Letting go is emotional. But when you begin to let go, it's very tangible, because that's when you can start to attract and create the people that you require to collaborate, procreate, contribute, and create wealth in free enterprise. Money doesn't attract money. You don't have a money magnet. You have to be able to magnetize people to your reality that you can create the compounded effect with. You want to let go of the control that keeps you disappointed. As you begin to let go of control that no longer serves you, then you can stop trading time for dollars. How much is an hour of your time worth? As I stated earlier, an hour of my time is worth $500. If you're relatively new or just getting started, put a price tag on your time of at least $100. I'm going to show you how to really value that time. If you can devote 2 hours a day part-time, at $100, that's $200 a day. Times 5, what do you have? $1,000. Times 4, $4,000 a month. That's a part-time enterprise. For some people, that's more or equal to what they achieve full-time, trading time $4. You must have a dialogue with money that's conducive to attracting people and situations that you can create it with. The Wealth Factor is going to be one of my newest books. I'm in the process of publishing my book, The Anger Factor. And in that book, it breaks down how many people are so angry that they can't possibly produce. You have to let go of some of your unresolved anger, your resentment, your hate, your judgment, the situations that keep you in a very low self-esteem, AAT, angry all the time. If you're ready to let go of that kind of anxiety, that kind of worry, and worry, let's take a look at worry. I worry about money. I'm worried about paying my bills. I'm always worried about money. I ask my clients this, does money worry about you? Money does not have a conscience, yet it's your consciousness or lack thereof that will either repel and or attract money to you effortlessly or in a struggle. So when your left hand is struggle and your right hand is effortless, and your left hand is effort and your right hand is receive, and your left hand is poverty and your right hand is prosperity. Now, which one of these are you going to choose? Well, the answer should be obvious. If you have become a noble struggler, if you lead the struggler's hit parade, if you're waving the struggler's flag, isn't it exhausting? Doesn't it exhaust your adrenal system, your lymphatic system? Doesn't it wear you out emotionally? Don't you spend a lot of your excess time worrying about what you worry about? What do you worry about? Why do you worry so much about money? Money does not worry with you. How am I going to pay my bills? Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people put their energy into, paying their bills. They put a lot of their energy into getting back to zero. And their statistics will prove that many people who pay off their debts that don't resolve their issues with money end up right back in debt. And have you ever seen anyone that borrowed money from their house to pay off their credit cards, then ran their credit cards back up? Now they're right back in a situation that they were, only twice as bad. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Unfortunately, a large percent of the population does that. What am I suggesting you tonight? That you have a different dialogue with money that brought you to the game tonight. That you start to develop a healthy dialogue with money. That you become comfortable with asking, receiving, and deserving. Deserve means day of service in Latin. Prosperity means prospero or in the flow in Latin. The hands-free zone, in the zone. You want to be able to find that space, that mythical, magical space called the zone. That space is a hazy wave space. In your law of alignment, you begin to effortlessly and easily attract people and situations that just show up. That is synchronicity, synchrodestiny. That is God winking. That is in the moment, in the present. I am me, I am free. When you know that you know that you know, then you'll stop doubting what you know. When you live in doubt, you create a telepathic mixed message. Doubt is a space between fear and faith. You can actually have a result in doubt, but when you doubt the result that you got, now you're back in doubt. When someone gives you a compliment and you put them in a position they have to explain themselves, why would anyone compliment you? When you put people in a situation to explain a compliment, what that really means is that's how you sabotage your relationships. Wow, I never thought of that. I watched two people do it today. They sabotage the relationship. Why would I want to compliment someone that puts me in a position I have to explain my compliment? Unfortunately, that's how complex many people are. That's a direct reflection of their inability to receive. And if you say, I have a hard time with compliments, that's not really the issue. The issue is you have no self-esteem. So when someone compliments you, it contradicts being violated. If being violated, being abandoned, being neglected is what creates your rejection issues, then you can't possibly prospect because you have so much anxiety about the outcome that you're either going to set up your rejection or you're going to reject yourself. And if you have rejection issues, typically what you do is reject yourself. This is why forgiveness of self is more important than forgiveness of others. Others will be others, but it's yourself that you must forgive for continuing to live in your low self-esteem, tiptoeing quietly through life, exhausting yourself, wearing out your adrenal system, and then you wake up, you're tired, you go to bed, you're tired, and you don't ever really get ahead in life because you don't have the emotional, etheric, sexual energy to attract people who can produce, create results, who are spiritual, who are emotional, who are innovative and creative. When you live in the problem, you can't create the solution. It just does not happen. When you're a flaw finder, when you grow up with flaw finders are people who find the flaw in everything. They suck the life out of the situation. They walk into the party and they find something that's wrong with it. They're the kind of person who reads one of my books and lets me know I misspelled a word on page 87. When people say that to me, I go, I appreciate you pointing that out to me. Did you find any value in the book? Typically, they will check out, donut, and the sound out of their mouth is The more you understand how predictable people are, the more you understand how to create in-free enterprise, the more you let go, the more you relax, the more you release, the more you're here, the more you're now, the more you are present, then you are in the flow, ITF, in the flow. You're in the hands-free zone. Then effortlessly, you can create synchronicity. When you let go of your control about money, because money doesn't have any control, money ebbs and flows to people who have skills. If you have skills with money, then you'll be attracting it. When you don't have anxiety about money, you can have a situation that's not favorable money, but your bounce back ability to recreate money is very easy and effortless. But when money is hard, money is difficult, money is a struggle, then you'll continue to create situations over and over to perpetuate your anxiety. You must be patient when it comes to money. If you stand in the kitchen looking at a pot of money waiting for it to boil, well, a watch pot never boils. If you've been trading time for dollars all your life, then you have to learn a new skill creating money. You must be patient. Unfortunately, most people who enter a business on a very short business leash. It means they don't have enough patience to ever be successful. They are seeking instant gratification. When you bring your disappointment, your addiction to disappointment into business, you won't be in it very long because you'll create situations and events to fulfill your feelings of disappointment to justify your failure. You'll reject yourself so no one rejects you. That's what, unfortunately, many people do. They reject themselves because of their own rejection issues. But they'll say, I don't want to be rejected, but it's you that you're rejecting. You're rejecting yourself because you can't possibly let go of your rejection issues, your control of rejection. I know this might be a breakthrough for you. I'm going to say it again. Most of society that has challenges selling, it's not their rejection issues of others. They'll say, I don't want to hear the word no. I don't want to be rejected, but it's their rejection of self. Most of you that do this, you reject yourself, your own low self-esteem, your deserve issues, living in lack, poverty consciousness, and when you perpetuate saying, I have fear of failure, it's really anxiety about being able to maintain success that hinders you. It's your overwhelmed state that says, I'm not sure if I can pull it off. You're right, you can't. Because when your dialogue was like that, when you speak into existence, future tense reality, to perpetuate your feelings, to justify being right, you can never be rich. This is why I ask this question, would you rather be right or would you be rich? Unfortunately, a large percent of society is addicted to being right. They like to argue. They like to put you in a situation you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. No, you don't understand. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. No, you don't understand. That's not what I meant. See, these are the people that will exhaust themselves explaining themselves. These are the type of people, when they go into prospecting, they talk too much. They talk themselves out of prosperity because prosperity would contradict their struggle. And this is why so many people have challenges succeeding. Because when you leave the herd, when you leave the pasture, many people in your circle of influence will say to you, how dare you leave us? And that's unfortunately what a lot of people do. They'll go back to what is familiar because they'll walk out of the gates of prison and they'll call the warden back up and say, can you take me back? I experienced freedom. It was just too overwhelming for me. I'm out here in free enterprise. I had my shot at the title, but oh my God, I had no idea it was going to take this kind of creativity and ingenuity. I thought I could just read a script and be successful, but I found that they don't have scripts for success, so I want to come back into the penal colony where I can live without any worries. I know I won't get very far in life, but I'd rather live here than go through the door of success, because the door of success is marked the unknown door. If you have challenges risking for reward, then if you want a guarantee, then keep your job. Continue to tiptoe quietly through life, trade time for dollars, get paid what a job is worth, and die dead and dead broke, and you won't even be able to pay for your funeral. But if you are so done with this, if you're exhausted, if you're ready to let go, you're ready to be in free enterprise, then here's what I suggest you do. Find yourself a business with very small startup capital. Anywhere between $500 to $1,000. Get yourself a free Facebook account. Get yourself a LinkedIn account at some point and start to understand how to create leads online. Leads cannot be taught. Leads must be experienced. Stop asking, how do I, how do I, how do I, how do I, and ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you overwhelm yourself. Ask yourself, what is my why? What is my why that will bring me through these challenges? Start to create clearly defined short-term goals. Start to have a vision bigger than your problem. Find a mentor, someone who can assist you to overcome your anxiety. Address your addictions one day at a time. Find a 12-step group, OA, AA, NA, DA, or any multitude of 12-step programs that has a culture that's conducive to having mentors, sponsors, and do the steps. Find yourself a mentor in a business. Find someone that you can connect with, collaborate with, read books, listen to downloads, podcast, buy books on money, buy books on free enterprise, pay attention, watch billboards, listen to commercial advertising, watch how people create persuasion, watch how situations are created that drive people to a sale, start to understand the laws that govern money, start to understand how the problem reaction solution drives the economy. Have a better understanding of cause and effect, and most importantly, live one day at a time so you can create success over a long career. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call. I look forward to seeing many of you in Chicago this Saturday, Long Island, New York next Saturday. Finish this month strong. We have a little bit of change. We have 1 week and 3 days. So absolutely finish the month of July, the seventh month of 2015 strong. Have a great evening, everyone, and I'll see you next Tuesday on the call.